Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome back to BUMC Online, the online campus here at Broadway. I'm Lewis, and I'm the campus pastor for our online church family. And for those of you who haven't been with us online yet before, let me say welcome to you. I'm really glad that you found your way to us today. Today, you're going to get an opportunity to sing, to pray, to take communion together, and we're going to continue our message series, Facing Jerusalem, with Pastor Laura. If you're joining us at BUMCOnline.org this morning, you can click the online communication sheet button at the top section of the screen. If you've got any prayer requests, celebrations, or if you've made a decision to follow Christ or to come for baptism, or you'd like to take the next step and become a member of our church, this is the place for you to let us know that. All of this is also available on our app and at BroadwayUnited.org/share. We want all of you to know that we are continuing to check our email, our voicemail, and the church mail regularly. If you need an assistance immediately, please call 270-843-3942, extension 1110. I got a couple reminders for you. Every weekday morning at 9 a.m., we're going to be on Facebook Live doing a daily time of prayer. And this will be a time for us to pray with each other and for each other. On Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, we'll be posting a message that is directed for our children and students. This schedule with everything on it is available at BroadwayUnited.org and on our Facebook page. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we want to celebrate that with you in a special way. If you have children at home, would you take a minute and download this palm coloring page for each child, have them color it, cut it out, and then take a video with your phone. Turn sideways, of course, of them waving it around as they walk through your house. We want to bring as much of our Palm Sunday traditions into our online experience as possible. So after you take this video, send it to Megan Johnston at mjohnston@broadwayunited.org, and then tune in next week as we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The best way for you to stay up to date on everything going on in the life of our church family is to download our app, and you can do that by texting BUMC app to 77977. Okay, now go grab some of your favorite communion elements, prepare for the Eucharist later on in the service, and again, thanks for being here and have a great day.
Good morning, dear friends. It's so good to be with you. We gather as a people of hope this morning in worship and song and prayer. And as we hear a message today, I invite you to join me in this call to worship that will be on the screen for you to read along to. Let's do this together. O God, our Father, as you led Jesus from the Jordan to Jerusalem, from Gethsemane to Golgotha, in this holy Lent, by your Holy Spirit, lead us, your people, out of selfishness and into servanthood, out of pride and into humility, out of sin and toward the cross, out of hopelessness and into worship. Let's sing together.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. How he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
To do that again, I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, seeing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior. Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Let's sing that again. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Sing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful, it's my Savior's love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful, it's my Savior's love for me.
When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Sing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Blessed be, blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed
give and take. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Say that again. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. We sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your glorious name.
Continue to worship together. I want to invite our kiddos to come closer to the television, closer to whatever screen you're using this morning to worship and hear this special moment. This moment is for you, and this moment comes from Pastor Jason.
Hi, friends. Jason here. Once again, grateful to see you on this Sunday morning. I recognize that your rhythm has been thrown off, all of your days are out of whack, and maybe you've even learned a new term, social distancing. Believe it or not, social distancing was a thing in Scripture. You see, back in the day, there was a disease called leprosy. And leprosy was a skin disease that would turn your hands and skin white and scaly, kind of like mine are right now from washing them so many times. Other people distanced themselves from those with leprosy. In fact, they didn't want to be seen with them, they didn't want to talk to them, and they certainly didn't want to touch them. So they made them outcasts. They made them go somewhere else where there was nobody else around. They took social distancing to the extreme. And you can imagine that made people with leprosy suffer even more, not only did they have this awful disease, but they were also lonely. There was a moment where Jesus is walking in the countryside and he happens to pass some people with leprosy, 10 of them, and they are so tired of being socially distant that they cry out to Jesus. They say, "Help us." And Jesus sees them. Jesus tells them to go present themselves to the temple. But before he says anything to them, before they can even be cleaned, they have to be seen. And Jesus sees them. No matter what happens now, no matter what has happened before, there is nothing that can make God distance himself from you. God sees you. God hears you. God loves you. Just like Jesus saw those people with leprosy, God sees you. Even when you're sad, even when you're angry, even when your mind is spinning because you're out of your routine, God sees you and God loves you.
Good morning, Broadway. Pastor Laura here. I'm so grateful to be with you this morning as we continue on together on this journey with Jesus to Jerusalem. Now, I know that all of us would love to go on a journey of any kind at this point in time. Maybe that's how you're passing some of the free time you find yourself with at this moment, you know, plotting out that next vacation you want to take after all of this is done and gone. However, this past weekend, I'm going to guess that your travel plans looked a lot like mine. I spent a lot of my time trying to decide if I wanted to leave the nice, warm, luxurious location that is my couch in order to go into the wild, exotic land that is my laundry room, or perhaps to even venture into the breathtaking, beautiful place that is my shower. Our options are pretty limited right now, right? But we remember together this morning that this journey that Jesus is on was not a glamorous one either. He's not just getting away to do some sightseeing. He's not escaping for some much-needed R&R. Rather, Jesus' journey had a very specific purpose. It's a purpose that he had made clear before he ever took one step toward there. A journey that he had told his disciples about while he was still in Galilee. He told them he must go to Jerusalem. Why? Well, to suffer many things there, to be rejected by the elders and the teachers of the law and the chief priests, to be killed, and to, after 3 days, be raised back to life. Jesus knew full well what awaited him in Jerusalem. And still, even then, he deliberately chose to turn and set his face to go there. Of course, as Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem, he's still continuing his ministry there all along the way. He's continuing to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, and he's working miracles as he travels along. One of those miracles is recorded for us in Luke chapter 17. In verse 11, it tells us, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee." I have a map to show you guys this morning so that you can kind of visualize this journey that Jesus is taking. And the very first thing you might notice is that it really looks like Jesus is taking the long way around here. We all know that the shortest distance between two places is a straight line. But Jesus is very clearly swinging way out to go out of his way to go around this place called Samaria. Why? Well, as a good Jewish person, Jesus really wasn't supposed to go there. Jews and Samaritans, they did not mix. They did not want to mingle. They did not get along at all, primarily because of this one key fundamental difference between them. The Jewish people believed that God's presence resided in the temple in Jerusalem. However, the Samaritans disagreed with them. They believed that God's presence dwelt instead at Mount Gerizim. In essence, these two groups of people, they could not agree on where the proper place was to worship God. And so at some point in time, they had parted ways. They had decided that their difference was irreconcilable. And they had allowed this tension between them to fester for centuries of time. So if you were a Jew who was living in Galilee, you did not go straight through Samaria to go to Jerusalem. Instead, you took this long way around through what was really a no man's land, this place where people didn't go and want to live, but rather just pass through, this place where these two groups were trying not to meet and mix and mingle with one another, this weird and awkward place between Galilee and Samaria. Verse 12 continues on. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. Luke doesn't tell us the name of this village, pretty much because the name of the village isn't what matters here. What matters is the fact that these 10 lepers are not inside of that village, that they are having to stand outside of it, and not because they want to, but because they have to. They have leprosy, which in the Bible is this very general term that describes any kind of skin condition. For the most part, many of their conditions were not probably that severe and weren't actually contagious. However, in this point in time, people believed that their outward affliction was a reflection of an inward sinfulness. And so these men were excluded from this community. They were labeled as ceremonially unclean, and they were not only not allowed themselves to worship inside the temple, but they weren't allowed to come into contact with anyone else, lest they make that person they encounter ceremonially unclean as well. While their condition might not be contagious, their uncleanly status was. And so they stayed at a distance. They had to live outside of the village or the city. And not only that, they had to wear clothes that were torn. They had to leave their hair unkept. They had to cover part of their face up. And if someone began to get too close to them, they had to call out to them, "Unclean, unclean." Can you imagine the shame? Their one and only job was to avoid everyone else. It sounds familiar right now, doesn't it? And so in most cases, their social isolation was actually much, much worse than their actual physical affliction. A few weeks ago, you and I, we might not have been able to empathize with these lepers very well. Most of us have never had to live in sustained isolation from anyone else. But now that we've gotten a taste of this, we know just how hard that it is. In fact, over these past few weeks, many of us have been trying to find different ways that we can stay connected, because we recognize we as human beings were made for relationship. And so we've been trying out new forms of technology that perhaps we never have before. We have been reverting back to old forms of communication that many of us have, for the most part, abandoned, like sending cards in the snail mail or picking up a phone and making a call. And then some of us have been getting even more creative, like the Jolly family, where they've been going and visiting their granddaughters by standing outside of their house and talking to them through a closed window. We've been trying to figure out these different ways that we can lessen the heartache and the emptiness that isolation brings. But that wasn't an option for these lepers. For them, isolation was inescapable from the moment that they were diagnosed until the moment that they died. There were no workarounds. The only thing that they could do was to team up with other lepers like themselves. And so that's what this group of lepers have done here. And they're sure to keep their distance. As we continue on in the story in verse 13, as they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Some way, somehow, these lepers have heard about Jesus. Perhaps they've even gotten wind of this story that he had healed a leper somewhere else. And so, rather than shamefully calling out their usual message, "unclean," to divert Jesus away from them, they boldly call out, "Master," to direct Jesus' attention to them. Rather than cowering in humiliation, they instead find the courage to call out an expectation, "Jesus, have pity on us." And then Luke says this, "When he saw them," and I don't want us to rush past that. I don't want us to miss this morning, because it is so very significant. When do you think the last time is that anyone has really seen these men? When do you think the last time is that anyone has not looked at them as just an object or a nuisance to be avoided? When was the last time that someone really looked at them to know them and to care about them? Jesus, he saw them. And then he said to them these words, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Now that might sound like a strange command coming from Jesus, right? They've asked him, Jesus, to heal them. And it kind of sounds like he's passing the buck. He says, "Go and see the priest." It kind of sounds like conversations that happen in my house when my son comes to me and he says, "Mom, will you play this game with me?" And I don't really want to. So I say, "Hey, why don't you go ask your dad?" All you parents that are watching, you know what that's like, right? However, when we remember that these lepers were considered unclean, then these words from Jesus take on a new meaning. Jesus is not passing the buck here. Rather, he is communicating to these 10 men that their healing has already begun. Remember, unclean people can't go to the temple. Unclean people cannot go see the priest unless and only and except when their sores are gone. And so these men, these lepers, they take off. They realize that only when they were healed could a priest examine them. They realize that only then could he lead them through the sacrifices that were required. They realize that only then could he declare them unclean, and only then could he restore them from their isolation and put them back into the community. And so all 10 of them show this great faith, not even hesitating, though in that initial moment, their sores still remained. All 10 of them, they take a step in that direction, and all 10 of them are healed as they go on their way. Wow, right? If we stop right here, then we have this amazing story about the power of Jesus who sees us and what is possible when we obey him in faith. But just when we think this story is over, Luke says, oh no, just wait, I've got more for you. And he throws two big surprises our way. The first surprise is this. He says, as the men were going, one of the men looks down and he sees that he is healed. And so instead of obeying Jesus, instead of doing exactly what Jesus has told him to do, to go and see the priest, he rebels a little bit. He turns around and he heads right back toward Jesus, praising God and throwing himself at Jesus' feet, thanking him. Clearly, you know, this man, he's being pointed out for a reason. Clearly, he is being held up as someone that we should learn from, an example here. But what is it that we are supposed to learn from him? Usually when I read this story, I've always assumed that it means that I just need to be more grateful as a person. 10 men were healed, right? And yet this is the only one who seems thoughtful enough to come back and to thank Jesus. And so I just need to be more like him. But let me ask you a question. Don't you think the other 9 men were grateful as well? As they went and did exactly what Jesus asked of them, as they obeyed him, and they went and they saw the priest and heard them be declared clean. I bet that there was some praising and some rejoicing in the temple that day from those other 9. And so it seems to me that something more is here, something beyond being grateful that we need to take away. Although being grateful is certainly always the proper response when we encounter God and his goodness. But this is where surprise number 2 comes into play. Finally, after this long story, Luke reveals to us, and he was a Samaritan. All the Jews who would have been listening to this story would have gasped in this moment. Their jaws would have dropped as they began to realize that the example in this story was their enemy, this outsider, this foreigner. But think about it. He's a Samaritan. He can't do what Jesus has asked of him. He can't go to the temple. He's not welcome there. And besides that, he doesn't even believe that God's presence dwells there. He believes that God's presence dwells entirely somewhere else. However, this outsider, times 2, a leper and a Samaritan, this person who is the most left out of this bunch of misfits, somehow he has been able to recognize what all the rest of them have somehow missed. He realized that he didn't need to go to the temple to thank God. And besides that, he realized that he didn't even need to go to his sacred mountain. Rather, he realized that he could thank God right then and right there, right in the midst of this no man's land. This place where no one expected for God to show up, in this weird and awkward place somewhere between Samaria and Galilee. this Samaritan realized he didn't need to go anywhere else to be grateful. Rather, he could show his deep respect and his love and his appreciation by falling at the very feet of God come in the flesh, Jesus. Jesus asked him, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Only the Samaritan had recognized who Jesus truly was, God himself. And so only he had turned back to come and to directly, face to face, thank him. In light of this, Jesus says to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." 1 out of 10. Only one of them had recognized God's presence in this no man's land. In this weird, awkward place, somewhere between Galilee and Samaria, where only isolated and dejected lepers lived. Who would have thought that God would be there? But there he was. And you guys, if God can show up there, then that means that our God, he can show up anywhere. But here's the question. Will we have eyes to recognize him when he shows up right in front of us? Right now, in this moment, we find ourselves in the midst of our very own no man's land. In this weird and awkward place between the way things used to be and the way things will be when all of this is done. And you guys, it is a desolate place. A place where we can begin to question. Where we can begin to question if God is really here. If he really cares. If he's really at work setting things right in our world at all. But let me assure you of something. Our God, he sees us today. And not only that, he is healing us as we go on our way. He doesn't just show up in select special places like this building that I find myself here today, or in some sacred mountain that is a world away. But rather, our God shows up in the places where we least expect him. He shows up in the very places where we are hurting and helpless, in the very places where we feel isolated and dejected. He is present. Do you recognize him? Can you see how he is working, even right here, right now, in the midst of our no man's land? I pray today as we come to this table that our eyes would be open wide to see the millions of ways that our God is present and holding out hope to us right in the midst of this pandemic, so that we, like that Samaritan leper, can be filled to the brim with gratitude. Gratitude that we cannot contain. Gratitude that must be released in praise. May we come and encounter the God who sees us and the God who heals us at this table today. Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love him, who earnestly repent of sin and seek to live at peace with one another. Therefore, let us silently confess our sin before our God. Let me invite you to do that silently now. As the Lord's people, forgiven and free, let us pray together the prayer that he taught us to pray today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to the Father, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then when the supper was over, he took the cup. And once again, he gave thanks to the Father. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Would you pray with me as we prepare to come? Lord God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until that day when Christ returns in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The body of Christ, broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. May you serve one another this morning and be reminded of God's presence.
Hear the voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you. And a friend who understands everything you're going through. You keep standing at a distance. In the shadows of your shade, there's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? So bring it all to the table. There's nothing here. Sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry and the fears that hold your heart. Through the cross you've been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. You can bring it all. Yes, you can bring it all. Come on in and take your place. There's no turn away, all you sinners, all you saints, come right in and find your grace. Come on in, take your place. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners and all you saints, come right in, find your grace. So bring it all to the table. It's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness. There's a Savior and he comes, bring it all to the table. Bring it all to the table. Bring it all to the table. Sound of his voice, seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you.
Still know his name.
Take just a moment to take some time and share with you how you can continue to not only engage with Broadway, engage with BMC Online, but also a way to give during this time. So many of you have expressed interest. I want to give. I want to worship in that way and serve in that way. And so Pastor Laura is going to share with us different ways that you can do that. So check this out.
There are several different ways you can support the mission and ministry of Broadway right where you sit this morning. If you're worshiping with us on our online platform, there's a big give button at the top of your screen. If you have our app, there's a give button at the bottom of the homepage, or you can visit our website, broadwayunited.org/give. If you use any of those different means, you're going to be taken to a site called PushPay. And one of the options that you're going to see there is to set up a recurring gift. This morning, let me ask you to prayerfully consider doing that. Us knowing what you plan to give over a longer period of time helps us know what to expect and helps us know how we can plan to respond in the midst of this crisis. As always, thank you for your generosity.
Thanks so much for being together today. And let's close with this benediction with the words on screen. In this holy Lent, by your Holy Spirit, lead us, your people, out of selfishness and into servanthood, out of pride and into humility, out of sin and toward the cross. As we leave this place, give us grace to go with Christ, to take up our cross, and to share in his life. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, the sound of a symphony.